Halfway through the NHL season, and it's time to take stock, to review, to predict, and to kind of feel out what possibly could happen in the second half. Well, that's what the GMs and the coaches and the players are doing. For us, here at Pucked in the Head, we're pretty much just yanking our chains.
So, Jason, pleasure to have you back here. Do we have to talk like this, like you did in the opening there, for the rest of the podcast?
I have no idea. No idea whatsoever. I'm making it up as I go along.
Okay, well, you wanted to get together and talk about halfway point, the NHL awards, how they would fall out if the season were to end right this second.
It's a pretty standard thing for media to do. It's an easy way to kind of take stock, to
reflect,
yeah. to all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if Kevin Weeks can do it, certainly we can.
Okay.
He seems to make it up as he goes, so why can't we?
Which award would you like to start with?
Well, we might as well start with with the Hart Trophy. Concussion or not, it's got to go to Sid the Kid.
Yeah. Damn, he's good.
What a beast. Hands down, he's got at the halfway mark, even with missing the last four games, he's got the Art Ross, the Rocket, locked up.
For anybody out there who, and I know there are lots of people who do this on a regular basis, who question the masculinity of Sid the Kid.
We have even done it as a joke. We had my dear daughter Mila crying on previous podcast as our representation of Sid the Kid.
Yeah. For anybody like that, I defy you to drop the gloves with the guy. Because this is a guy who, unlike previous best players in the league, like Gretzky and like Lemieux, to whom he often draws comparisons. Unlike those two, Sid the Kid is not afraid to get physical and even drops the gloves on occasion.
There was a time before he had a 24 game? Was
20 some odd. It was 20, a lot of games.
24 game point streak this year, which is the longest since 1992, I believe. The year might be a little bit wrong. We did no research for this podcast whatsoever. No notes or stats in front of us whatsoever. Anyway, since Matt Sundin did it in a very different NHL, this young man, 23 years old, is he?
Early 20s.
Early 20s. The captain of his team, the youngest captain to ever hoist a Stanley Cup. He scores an overtime gold medal winning goal in the Olympics. He's got World Junior Championships.
Does he have the Triple Crown? Has he won a World Championship?
I don't think the Penguins have ever missed the playoffs while he's been there that I know of. Once again, I would have to do some research for that. But this young man has a long career ahead of him. He's scoring points in a very tight-checking, well-coached league, and he's scoring points in buckets.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get that concussion during the Winter Classic, I mean, he might be looking at 120, 130, 140 point season.
And as a Canucks fan, I find that a little bit sad because the Sedins are arguably having a better year than they had last year.
Well, what do they have? 54 points after 42 games?
Yeah.
So Henrik would be on pace for
106-ish.
106 points. Yeah. Mind you, he did much of his scoring during the second half last year. Yeah. He was not in the Art Ross equation at the halfway mark. So he did a lot of his scoring in the second half.
Yeah, the Sedins are arguably still getting better. And
so is Sid.
And Crosby is just so far ahead of them this year that it boggles the mind.
And there's another fellow in Tampa Bay.
Also a young'un named Steven Stamkos,
who is being bandied about in the Hart Trophy discussion. I don't think he's quite there yet.
I don't either. I don't think he's got the respect yet around the league. And I think that Tampa Bay is going to have to do better than they're doing with him as the only focus.
What I'm really surprised at is the fact that Alex Ovechkin is having such a crappy season by his standards. I'm just wondering if we can look at the Russian blow up at the Olympics in February last year as having any kind of contribution to Ovechkin, Kovalchuk, Semin, and these guys having an off year. Kovalchuk's year is, we've discussed this before, just abysmal. Ovechkin has only scored 14 goals. Mind you, he's learned to pass the puck, so he's got many more assists than he usually does.
Yeah, I don't think Semin's been that bad this year, has he?
he has not been top three in scoring the way he has been. So I'm just wondering how much of the Olympic hangover has actually come in for the Russians as opposed to the Canadians.
It was quite the large can of whoop-ass that was opened on them, wasn't it?
They were atrocious.
I hadn't heard it before. It does make some sense, though.
Really, Ovechkin couldn't bring his game to another level in the Olympics. He also couldn't bring his game to another level in the playoffs when Montreal shut him and his team down. Yeah. Ovechkin did not play poorly in the playoffs. He was more than a point a game, but he couldn't get it done against a well-coached Montreal team.
Now, that's interesting because we have made the same argument about the Sedins, saying, well, they were more than a point a game. They did their job.
True enough. Coach of the year so far.
I want to say Vigneault, but I don't think he's as responsible for the Canucks. I'm going to go with Mark Crawford in Dallas.
Good choice. Very good choice. I hadn't considered him.
Who are you going to go with?
I was going to go with, and this is a not so much a dark horse as just, I've just really been impressed with what he's done with what he was given. Torts. John Tortorella with the New York Rangers. The Rangers have not been the black hole that many people expected them to be.
You among them.
Myself among them.
You predicted them, as I recall, to finish below the Islanders.
I did. And the team has more road wins than any other team in the league this year. They are playing a good, sound, physical, rounded hockey
game. I think my third candidate in the Jack Adams mix would be Scott Arneil in Columbus.
Really?
They're still in the playoff picture, I think. And, you know, they were second in their division behind Detroit, fourth in the conference at one point for a long stretch. That's pretty good for a first-year coach who was working with a team that hasn't done much historically.
Yeah, okay. Norris Trophy. I picked Dustin Byfuglien.
I can't argue with that. I would have to give it to Byfuglien as well.
41 points in 45 games. There are very good arguments to be made for guys like Chris Letang, who was my quarter pole choice, actually. Nicholas Lidstrom, of course, is putting in another solid year in Detroit. But I just think Byfuglien has been dominating.
If I look at actual numbers, who deserves it the most, I'm going with Byfuglien. If I have to say who is likely to win it, probably Lidstrom.
No, we're not predicting end of year. We're just saying as performance up until now.
Okay, Dustin Byfuglien.
Okay, Vezina?
Carey Price.
Really?
No. Were you going to go with Price?
No, but I brought up Carey Price and was quite adamant about it in our All-Star Game episode.
Yeah.
And you were dismissive.
I think he should be in the mix, but as soon as I said it, I realized, wow, I'm an idiot, because I was going to say Jimmy Howard.
I don't like Jimmy Howard.
I know. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
He's got single-digit losses. He is number one in the NHL in wins. He's carrying the Red Wings. They've got nothing else. Chris Osgood is so done.
Who's backing up Howard right now?
Chris Osgood.
No, Osgood's hurt.
Oh, I don't know. Didn't we already mention that we didn't do any research, or was that the last episode?
Calder.
Did you even pick anybody?
For the Calder?
No, for the Vezina.
No. Thanks for pointing that out. I will have to give the Vezina trophy to my guy, Bobby Lou, Roberto Luongo.
Yeah, he's having a great year. An unsung great year.
He did not get chosen for the All-Star Game, which I think is it's a complete load of bullshit. I think that Luongo deserves to be there. And not just because he's in the NHL's All-Star Game advertising.
That's so bad. I have absolutely no idea what's involved in editing a television commercial, but you'd think they could throw another clip in there and send a new one off to the networks.
It's Taves, Ovechkin, and Luongo. Luongo's the only guy you can actually see his name on the back of his jersey. You see his mask, his number one, and Luongo.
Here's an interesting question for you. Been some discussion about the Unsung Hero Award in Vancouver going to Yannick Hansen. And the argument about that is, once it's all been debated, there's usually a consensus for the Unsung Hero Award, which means he's actually now being
sung.
Should Roberto Luongo win the Unsung Hero Award? Because realistically, there is nobody that is singing this guy's praises. He's still getting slammed by blowhards who don't know shit about hockey.
Well, you could say the same thing about Kevin Bieksa.
Yeah.
And I've been a Luongo and Bieksa supporter the whole time.
I'll be honest, Bieksa was wearing real thin on me. He's had stretches where he's looked awful out there.
All I know is, I have had very many reasons to say told you so the last half season.
Roberto Luongo is very, very quietly having his best season, arguably, as a Canuck.
With the exception of shutouts, because he has a propensity to lose shutouts in the last 3 minutes of a game.
Right. Well, when your defense allows Jordan Eberle to break in with 10 seconds on the clock, he's going to score a significant portion of the time. Now, like, there's been one or two goals that have been his fault, but you know, are you going to really take a look at the last 5 seconds of meaningless games and say, oh, well, no, he sucks now?
No, not at all. And like I said, I'm a big supporter of Roberto Luongo. And I think that he is the guy who is going to take us to the Cup final. But I don't know if you can really call him unsung. He's the top paid goaltender in the league right now.
And nobody's talking about him.
Everybody's talking about him.
Not really. Everybody's talking about Kessler and about the Sedins.
Well, nobody's calling him
the MVP.
And
about how they've only lost once since Tambellini has been in the lineup and stuff like
nobody, that. Nobody, except for yours truly, is saying that Luongo should be in the MVP mix for the team. But he's hardly unsung.
All right.
For me, an unsung hero isn't just nobody's talking about him for MVP. It's also, it has this feeling of it should be one of the lower paid guys on the team. Lower ice time, but he uses his ice time wisely. Like, I would say Corey Schneider is a better person to pick for the Unsung Hero Award than Roberto Luongo.
He's good.
He's good.
When do you think they pull the trigger on that deal? Or do they?
I don't know if they do this year. I think he is one of the reasons that Luongo is playing so well.
I don't think they should this year. But with Eddie Lack playing pretty darn well in the AHL, I think sometime soon they're going to have to say, wow, he's got some good trade value, and get what they can for him.
Definitely. I think that they would, in a perfect world, I think they would like to see Eddie Lack get another season or two in the AHL, like they did with Schneider.
Yeah.
That extra playing time is really good for Schneider.
I hope that Schneider will wait that long, that he won't turn into a Matthew Schneider.
Well, I don't foresee Corey Schneider giving up on his two-year contract.
Yeah.
Where Matthew Schneider is at the end of his career. So he wanted more playing time now because he doesn't have a future. Yeah. Corey Schneider knows he's banking on a future.
Well, fair enough. Anyways, I derailed us.
I would vote for Corey Schneider as unsung hero right now.
Yeah, fair enough. Calder.
Not a difficult call. Skinner.
I got Couture.
Couture does have a very cool first name.
He is. He is Logan.
Logan. You know, Logan was actually on the short list for baby names for my wife and for me before we knew it was a girl.
Huh.
I like the name Logan. I still pick Skinner. Skinner has been one of the reasons that the Hurricanes have not fallen off the map.
They're still pretty bad.
He is an outstanding young talent.
Well, so is Couture.
And Skinner's actually the leading scorer right now for rookies.
I did look at this.
Couture is the top goal scorer. Yeah. But Skinner's the top point getter, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
You can definitely make arguments either way.
Yeah, Couture's playing for a better team.
Skinner's getting more ice time.
I don't know if that's a point for or against him.
Well, to be fair, you got to work harder to make a good roster like that.
Yeah, and to get the kind of ice time that he's getting.
On the other hand, who's to say the San Jose Sharks are really a better team this year? They were a better team last year.
They're in the playoff picture in a better conference, so.
But they're not a great team.
No.
They've got some great individual
players. They're certainly better than the Carolina Hurricanes.
True enough. But Carolina, I watched a couple of games last week of theirs. Lots of games on Versus, by the way, for the Hurricanes because they're hosting the All-Star game this year. They're fun to watch.
Okay. What do we got left? The Selke. Can we both agree that the Selke Award should go to Ryan Kessler and move on?
Well, considering he's lost it the last couple of years to Pavel Datsyuk, and Pavel Datsyuk is injured, I'll give it to Kessler.
Yeah. He's also improved.
He has improved at both ends of the ring.
He's arguably at Datsyuk's level, if not better now.
He's definitely a really top-tier forward right now. He deserves to be at the All-Star game. So there you have it. As Chris Withers and Jason Carrillo run out of steam, we salute anyone who has continued listening this long. I hope you all have a great, great, great time with the All-Star game.
And just as a public service announcement and as an excuse, we're going to remind everybody again the reason that we are so mentally drained right now is because we sat through Tron Legacy, which is a terrible, terrible motion picture.
May I tell you what I said as we were leaving the theater today? That typically, like in House and in other places, I have never been an Olivia Wilde fan. I don't find her to be all that attractive, just on a normal day.
Oh, really? I thought you were just not a fan of her acting.
No, like when she was on House and everyone was like, oh, she's so gorgeous. I'm like, She just doesn't do it for me. However, in this particular film, hot.
No, it's amazing what Lycra will do, huh?
Not just the Lycra, my friend. It's the short, stylized black hair.
The pixie cut.
The pixie cut and the dark eye shadow. Yeah, Kate Blanchett looked hot in it in the fourth Indiana Jones movie. Thankfully, because there was nothing else to watch in that film. This had a very similar feel. It was basically bored, 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 bored. And she comes on the screen, interest. And then she leaves the screen, bored, bored, bored. So, there you go.
All right, this has been Pucked in the Head at the Movies. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Time for a change.
guess you could add, pocked in the head of the movies, how is Black Swan?
I don't really want to.
No?